Good morning, I'm Aaron Mee, and you're listening to the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country, brought to you by Beacon Light. Today, joining me here on the Community Matters program is our Harrisburg correspondent, Brendan Scanlon. Brendan, thank you for taking some time to talk to us today. First of all, I gotta say, it's been a crazy summer with the escape of Michael Burnham at the beginning of the summer, and now the escape and capture of Danilo Cavalcante at the end of the summer. I mean, really, when we look at that, first of all, it's been a crazy summer in Pennsylvania, and now I know the lawmakers have to react to all of these things, but they're actually not in session right now too, so that kind of makes it a little bit difficult. So thank you for joining us.
Hey, Aaron. Yeah, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be here with you. And yeah, it has been sort of a crazy summer, especially as far as prison escapes go at the county and local level. I mean, we saw two just in the last 2 or 3 months, which is pretty unheard of. So yeah, one of the big things you mentioned that we've heard from recently is how lawmakers are looking to kind of address that issue at county prisons. You know, county jails are really sort of operated down at the local level. They really sort of, hold folks who are charged with lesser offenses or folks who are awaiting trial. So it's almost kind of like, a spot in between prisons before they head to a state prison or somewhere like that for a lot of these inmates. So it is largely operated at the local level. Basically, what state lawmakers want to do is step up and say, hey, it's time for us to intervene because this really shouldn't be happening. So that's one of the big things that we've seen. And obviously, your listeners up in Warren County know that issue very well. So do folks down in Chester County now with the Danilo Cavalcante manhunt, which again just wrapped up recently. So happy to see that as well.
Really, there's a few different things that have been going on that I think are pretty important that could have a good impact on people. And when we look at some of these things, and this is, we started off a little bit of doom and gloom, but really, some of these other things, even though they're a little bit difficult to talk about at times, they're covering things that are really important, and I think that they're making good progress. So one of the things that I am talking about, an example, would be Pennsylvania lawmakers introducing a bill to block explicit content on children's devices. I think that that's a really good thing to have, and it's important.
Yeah, definitely. There's a few lawmakers who have been at this for a while, and really they say it's kind of all about protecting children. You know, there are just so many different things out there on the internet, and kids have access to all of it on their smartphones. You know, a lot of kids have iPhones and tablets and whatnot at some really young ages. And unless there's some type of filter, there are things that parents could put on there. But oftentimes there are ways that that kids can find access to this stuff, whether it's intentional or unintentional. And it's kind of scary for many parents to think about. So that's basically what some lawmakers are trying to do. They're trying to get the manufacturers to install these, filtering devices on phones manufactured for folks here in the Commonwealth under a certain age, under 18. And that's really sort of the crux of what they're trying to do with that.
That's a really awesome thing that they're working on. And, really, with that being said, I kind of wanted to talk about the flip side of that as well and talk about child influencers, because really, that's another thing that I understand that the state is working on trying to giving, and not even necessarily restrictions, but their protections, really.
Right. Yeah. So what this is about is really protecting kids from financial exploitation. You know, a lot of times there are parents or guardians or other folks who, I don't want to say use their kids, but use their kids for their social media presence. And a lot of times parents are getting some pretty big paychecks for, ad sponsorship or sponsorship deals and advertisements. So there are a lot of folks out there making a lot of money. Basically, what lawmakers are trying to do here, this is not just a Pennsylvania thing. This is happening in states around the country. They're trying to step up and say, listen, we need to set up a trust or something so that these kids who are really the stars of the show, who are generating the revenue for parents or for friends, for guardians, whoever, that they're protected and that, somebody else isn't blowing through all their money and that they have this money to access, down the road. And again, the other thing to think about this too is sort of kids at a young, sometimes these are toddlers, babies. They have no say in the issue. And you know, their pictures are out there on the web, you know, for forever. You can't really wipe stuff off the internet, as we know. So there's a lot of different pieces to this legislation. It's really interesting. It's something that's in the early stages, but we're going to keep a close eye on it because, again, this is becoming a pretty big issue all around the country.
I understand that you've also been covering an executive order that just came out to expand opportunities for small businesses to partner with the state. Now, how does that work? I'm really interested in that because I think that's a great opportunity for allowing, you know, small businesses in the state to work together.
Yeah. And so just kind of a little bit of a background, you know, with this full-time divided legislature, it's been sort of tricky for Governor Shapiro to really try to get a lot through the legislature. So we've seen him, you know, sign a number of executive orders that really streamline, you know, different processes for, you know, for working with state agencies. He's basically doing what he can, you know, with his ability and his authority as governor to try to help out some of these small businesses. Because again, it's a full-time divided legislature, Republican-controlled Senate and a Democratic-controlled House. And the House is so narrowly split. It's actually at an even split right now with the special election next Tuesday that will decide who controls the majority. So it's been incredibly difficult to get really a lot of stuff done in the General Assembly this year. Again, just sort of been a lot of partisan gridlock, as we've seen really since December, January, earlier this year. But basically, what this order does is it really gives small businesses, I guess, more of a seat at the table when it comes to contracts and partnerships with the Commonwealth. That's according to the Shapiro administration. They said the order will increase opportunities for small and small diverse businesses. So those that are veteran-owned, women-owned, or minority-owned, LGBT-owned, that kind of thing, to have more access to, you know, to working with the state, to state contracts. Because so many times it's these larger companies that are usually the ones winning these bids for different projects. So it's just kind of basically a way for the Commonwealth to use some more of their funds. You know, certain departments and agencies are directed to use more funds for their contracts with some of these smaller, small, diverse businesses. So that's essentially what the high-level overview of that is.
The Pennsylvania State Police lowering the requirements for new cadets, which I think is an interesting change there. So what do you think that means?
Yeah, so essentially what they're doing is dropping the college credit requirement for folks to join to become a state police cadet. There was, I forget the exact number of credits that were necessary for applicants. But this is something that we've seen the Shapiro administration really try and target, you know, with a lot of effort, trying to attract more folks to join the ranks of the state police. There is a pretty big shortage. Less and less people are applying to become state police. And there is a really large number, you know, of the ranks out there that are eligible for retirement in the next couple of years. So there is a big shortage. They went from, you know, tens of thousands of applicants back 20, 30 years ago, now to just a little over 1,000 in the last year. So there's definitely been a pretty big drop off. And they're really trying to fill those ranks.
I understand that they're also expanding the property tax rent rebate program.
Yes. Yeah, that is correct. And that's a really big deal because there are so many seniors who rely on this, so many folks who disabled individuals who rely on this, and, you know, those who are widows. It's a really big deal. And currently, the program actually provides rebates to over 400,000 seniors, widowers, as I said, over the age of 50, and disabled individuals who are at least 18. And basically what's happening is it's getting expanded in January of 2024. This has been a big effort from lawmakers for the Shapiro administration. So the current income limit for this property tax rent rebate, the current limit is, I think it's around $35,000 for homeowners and $15,000 for renters. Basically, what's going to happen in January 2024, the income limit is going to increase to $45,000 for homeowners and renters. So it's going to jump up $10,000 for homeowners and about $30,000 for renters. So homeowners and renters, the income limit will be $45,000. And the maximum rebate is also going to increase from $650 to $1,000. And for some folks, it might not seem like a lot of money, but you know, that's a couple months of groceries or gas for a lot of folks out there who are struggling with those, you know, with inflation and rising prices right now. So it's a big deal, and there's a lot to it. We have more details and information that folks can check out up on the Harrisburg Bureau page of our website, but definitely some really big news for seniors and those who rely on this program.
Teachers are banding together, and I'm glad that they're doing it to, you know, get better water quality in their schools, first of all. And that's something that really, when you hear some of the different ideas that have been tossed around for the testing and stuff like that with these schools, I think it's really fantastic. And it's interesting to see the way that these ideas are being implemented.
Yeah. And it's a big deal right now. It's a great point, Aaron, because so, you know, so many schools in Pennsylvania are many years old, you know, sometimes many decades old. And it's a really big issue is lead in the drinking water. So that's something that, you know, advocates, teachers, and some different teacher unions are trying to address. They say, you know, good drinking water should be available in every school, but it's hard to really sort of pinpoint exactly, you know, where the lead is, where it comes from. You know, it's tasteless. You can't really tell it's there, and it could come from, you know, it could come from the walls, from paint, from solder, pipes, all this different stuff. So really, they say the only way to prevent lead poisoning is from putting a filter at the point of source. So like on a water fountain or faucet or somewhere where folks are getting, you know, getting their water directly. They want to put these filters on and a number of different schools and try to get more funding from the state to do that, as well as test for lead regularly to prevent kids from getting lead poisoning. Because, you know, as we know, too much lead poisoning, it could be really, really bad for young kids. It can hinder development. You know, advocates say it leads to lower IQ scores, increase in ADHD, and a whole host of other problems as well. So it's a big issue. It's a big issue in Pennsylvania, especially with a lot of these dated school buildings, and folks are trying to do something about it here at the state capitol.
I wanted to kind of ask, so what is the best way that people can stay up to date with some of these different things that you're doing? Because I understand that all of this is available online, but you're also on like pretty much every day on TV doing these reports, right?
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's even when there's not a ton happening in Harrisburg, like when lawmakers aren't here, you know, we're still reporting on something because there's always something to report on. There's always something to inform our viewers about. So yeah, weeknights usually on Erie News Now, either at 5 or 6. And then of course online, erienewsnow.com. You can head to our Harrisburg Bureau page where we have all the details and all the stories and all the information that can give folks all the information that they're looking for.
Brendan, I appreciate you taking some time today to be able to talk to me about this stuff. And really, I can't wait to be able to catch up with you again soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Next time we catch up, I'll probably be down in DC, but I'm looking forward to that and always looking forward to chat with you. So thanks again.